first opportunity I've had to speak in front of the church. So, although stretching, I do appreciate the opportunity. So I was asked to give a short topic about cultivating gratitude. And given the proximity of Thanksgiving, that does make sense. So I'll be giving some of my contemplations and thoughts about thankfulness and the need for thankfulness in a Christian's life. And then afterwards, I will be opening it up for everyone to comment maybe something that they're thankful for, or it be it a person or experience or an event that happened that you are thankful for. So for my short discourse on thankfulness, I'd like to discuss a couple of things that I have found to be prevalent in my journey of becoming more thankful and just the need for thankfulness as a Christian. So to begin, I would like to read a short passage from Matthew 6 that may at first not seem like it's exactly talking about thankfulness, but it is directly related. So Matthew 6, 25 to 33. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So not worrying and not having anxiety are themes that you could pull from this passage. What I would like to focus on is the call to being content with the current state that you're in. Jesus also makes note that the flowers and the birds do not worry about what they're going to wear or eat tomorrow. They are completely content with their current state. So the reason I want to talk about contentment briefly is because contentment lays pretty much the foundation for thankfulness. Being content means you don't desire more, and you are fully aware of your current state and that it is sufficient. And thankfulness comes a lot easier when you're not constantly searching for more. So Jesus also implies contentment in the Lord's Prayer by asking that God give us this day our daily bread. Not yesterday, give us the whole week's worth, or today, give us the whole month's worth. He says, only today what we need. And why would you not ask for the whole week's worth? Wouldn't it be a lot easier, I mean, a whole lot less stressful if you would have the entire week's worth of food? But is it possible that God wants us to rely on him to supply us daily instead of by our own strength and kind of believing that it's coming from our own wealth and strength that we're getting these blessings? And that maybe a life of ease and wealth where we don't have to rely on God's provision, it is harder to be genuinely thankful than in a life with more difficulty. Because difficult times sometimes bring a stark realization of something that you may have been taking for granted, and maybe make you realize something that once it's gone or it's not as easily available, it makes you recognize the value of it. A sinner becoming a Christian has genuine gratitude for grace. Someone who has lost a loved one has the realization of the absolute necessity for community around them who loves and comforts them. Someone who relies on God for their daily provision is going to be genuinely grateful each day for their food. And it's not impossible to have genuine thankfulness in a time of ease and wealth. But also, it is very easy to fall into the complacent thankfulness where we say thank you, God, and thank you to other people out of mere platitude or cliche, and it's not actually being genuinely grateful. So am I. Are we staying genuinely grateful for the important things around us? Are we staying genuinely grateful for the brotherhood? Are we truly grateful for the feet and hands of the church? Are we staying genuinely thankful for the traditions of Mennonites? And how would we interact differently with those things if we were genuinely grateful about them? Or being genuinely grateful about them? So this mindset of being genuinely grateful for everything may seem a little bit overwhelming because we have so many things to be grateful for. Not just our church, but also a warm house for our four vehicles. And for everything else as we live in the middle of the American dream, which also is constantly bombarding us with the mindset of we need more and discontent. And you're right. It is almost impossible to be genuinely grateful for all of those things. And I think that's why Jesus is constantly spoke to live a simplistic lifestyle. In Matthew 10, Jesus commands his disciples that when they go out and teach, that they shouldn't even have an extra bag for the journey. They shouldn't have an extra tunic or sandals or a staff. Is it possible that the more we have, the more God's daily provision is overlooked? That the more we have, the less content we become, and therefore the less thankful we become? So I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else, because being the youngest child and the only son, I've had a life of relative ease and provision. However, I do recognize that incredible trend to become complacent and entitled. However, it is a constant pushback of that mindset and recognizing the tendencies, at least, that can help fight against that trend. But I've had also a couple experiences in my life that have helped me kind of realign my priorities and just the way that I view certain people and things. So I'll maybe share one of my experiences, and then afterwards I'll allow everyone else to express something that you're maybe thankful or something or someone. Yeah, just to express your gratitude. It's pretty open. So I went to CBS about 4.5 years ago, and it was a growing time, which I'm thankful for because I had a lot of growing to do at that time. And I met a lot of new people, and I had a lot of good experiences. And there's this one conversation that I had that I frequently think about because it left such an informative impact in my life. I was having a conversation with a group of my friends, and one of the guys in that group had lost his father at a pretty young age. And we were discussing relationships with our parents and how some kids just don't seem to respect their parents in any way. And the guy who had lost his father said, it blows my mind that some kids waste their precious time fighting with their dad when I only wish that I ever had a dad. And that just really hit me, not necessarily because I fought a lot with my parents, but it was just, I realized that I take some of that time for granted. And the time that I spend with them and the good conversations I have with them are something that I will never, ever regret in my entire life. So that's maybe a small glimpse into my journey of how I view thankfulness and some of the experiences that I've had along my journey. And that's by far not the only one, but I also recognize that everyone's journey is slightly different. And so, yeah, I would like to open it up for anyone else. If you have a story of maybe where you became more aware of something that you should be thankful for, or a person that you're thankful for, or an experience that you're thankful for. So I'm going to read one more scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5, and then I'll open it up for anyone else to talk. Who has the mic? Okay, John has the mic. For anyone who's ready. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. So I'm not sure how much time we'll take, but at this time, it is open. If someone has something they want to share, you can just raise your hand if you'd like to say something.
Well, what is new in my life right now is that we are building a business. I've come home from Sturdybuilt to work on that. So as every self-employed person will tell you, I'm on the road to easy riches, or not. But it is giving me much to be thankful for. So, you know, given the assignment Sunday, my mind started down this path. What do I have to be grateful for? One of those things is that I'm not in this alone. I'm working with my wife, with my sons. The Anabaptist Financial Seminar last Tuesday, just a lot of people with similar goals, similar mindset, and going through the exercise there of verbalizing what we hope to do with our, just very briefly, what do we hope to do with our business? What are some of the roadblocks? How are we dealing with that? And the fact that there are lots of people, not just last Tuesday, there are lots of people that would be happy to walk with me through that journey. That is much to be thankful for. To be on your own when you're on your own would be very scary. I am grateful that we have a business environment that's mostly free of corruption. I don't have to worry about la renta or protection money, either from the mobs or from the police or whatever else. You pretty much, you do your thing and it kind of works. You put your money in the bank and it'll be there when you need it again. You order something and it comes. Just stuff works. There's an infrastructure that is conducive to business, to operating. We noticed it when that kind of hit a snarl a couple of years back, supply chain and things kind of broke down, and we noticed it because that's not the way it normally is. And so I'm thankful that it's normally pretty good. It just kind of works. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity of doing business as ministry, as kingdom building, and I don't know for sure what all that looks like yet, but we're learning, and it's being an adventure. I thank God for how he's leading in all of that.
Thank you.
Because every day I'm confronted with brokenness, I'm just made aware so much of where sin takes us. And so I'm just so grateful for Jesus, so grateful that Jesus called me out of sin, and I'm so grateful that I can tell people about Jesus, because otherwise it would be a very hopeless work to be in.
So this is twofold. If you've had any conversation with me in the last year, you know my dislike of getting old. And so about 2 months ago, Rose and I were driving to Wichita, and we were talking about people that we know or we heard of that who've either been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, who have died recently. And she reminded me that, you may not like getting old, but you're older than these people that you're talking about. And that probably was one of the most hardest hitting thing that she's told me in a long time. And I know where we're at when we're driving it, because it struck me that I was concentrating on the wrong end here. And so there's two things. I'm grateful that I've, you know, I've made it to 53. I'm glad for that. And but I'm also grateful for a wife that prods me. And it's a coin that I didn't, you know, put together. But I do call her my beneficial adversary. And, you know, at times it doesn't feel all that well. But I gotta say that, you know, husbands, if you have a wife that, you know, helps you along and prods you along, you know, take it for what it's worth, because it really is a blessing from the Lord.
I've been, I started an abridged version of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Gulag Archipelago, here on Thanksgiving break. Break's something I'm very grateful for, by the way. But he describes the Soviet mechanism of conscripting workers for their... for their labor camps, their machine that powered their entire country. And many things struck me. But one of the things that I'm grateful for right now is that the philosophical underpinning of our country assumes that people are people, not people are objects to be used by the state for the, quote, motherland, unquote. And so it's something that I don't think about on a daily basis. But when I read a book like this, I say, oh, and I'm reminded to be very grateful about just the air we breathe here. I'm very grateful for that.
Well, my mind went to a Hands of Christ project that I was involved in, helping a woman who was a hoarder, and it was just really traumatic. And when I came home, I just realized I've been given so much. My mom taught me to organize. My mom taught me to cook, to sew, to mend, to garden. You know, I've been given so much. And then recently I was thinking about that in relating to some of the brokenness in our world around us, and I realized, if I wouldn't have been given those gifts, I would probably be walking the streets just and homeless like some other people. So those are things that I'm grateful for. And sitting here without Merle makes me grateful, too, that I usually come to church with him. He's recovering from knee replacement. He had some really rough days this last week, especially Monday night. He said it was a horrible night because he had so much pain. But I'm very grateful that today is better, and that welcome your prayers for continued and complete recovery for him.
Two things I'm thinking of this evening. The one is, as I look at the turmoil in this country right now, political turmoil, I'm thankful for that I'm a part of it, that we are a part of a kingdom that is completely different than what we see. And so that is that we can be subjects of King Jesus and be a part of the kingdom that he is building that will never pass away. And the other thing is kind of related to that. The Davis Finney Foundation is an organization that especially ministers or is organized for the benefit of people with Parkinson's disease. And there's a lot of good things there. And usually it's, you know, physical, what to do for physical challenges, emotional challenges, but just recently, Edith came across an article where a lady talked about our faith. And that was so encouraging that in this secular world, she gave a very positive testimony, and together it, and she talked about the hope that is not dependent on the disease. No matter what happens with the disease, we have a living hope. Edith has a living hope that surpasses this life, and so do I. And so that has just, especially this week, has just been a really a reason for thankfulness.
Well, as Bo was talking there about being thankful in the hard things, I had to think of my journey of the last 40 years, or almost 40 years, and with my health. And I don't. In the last several years, I've thought about it more, the importance of being thankful in the hard things. And I'm not sure what whether we need to be thankful for them or in them, whatever, but... One thing for sure I can say is that it has given me a platform for recognizing my dependence on God and being able to see his goodness, and so I'm very thankful for that.
Well, I'm not really prepared to share stories about why I'm grateful for this, but the things that came to mind when I was thinking about what I'm grateful for was God's faithfulness and is steadfast love and gentleness. And I think that the scripture for it is faithfulness. Steadfast in love is also another theme for me, too. But when we are faithless, he remains faithful. I've just seen that so often for myself. And then also, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me, because I'm gentle. And, yeah, I'm just really grateful for a God who is like that.
I'm thankful for the Christian heritage we have. Just having grown up hearing about Jesus, hearing about God's plan of redemption, God's plan for his people. Last evening, some of us were at a presentation about India. India has like 1.4 billion people, and in that 1.4 billion, there's maybe 2 or 3% that name the name of Christ. And it's just kind of mind-blowing to realize that the vast numbers of people that you see have basically either never heard or never embraced Christianity. And we take it for granted here. We grew up with it. Take it for granted and make it of almost a minimal value, and it is a tremendous, tremendous blessing that we have.
Well, I'm thankful for many different things, but one thing I thought of this morning was I'm thankful that we have a God that created us in his image, and he gave us senses that we can see and hear and feel and what he has created. And the sunset, this sunrise this morning was just really awesome. And then this evening I was driving over through the Yoder community about sunset and saw the green, lush wheat fields. And having just come through several years of pretty severe drought, I just marveled that not only do we have a God that is in control of everything, but he does all things well.
I'm grateful tonight that it rained. I was really looking forward to when it finally rains, and it did rain, and so I'm really grateful for that. And I'm also very grateful for my hands. Oftentimes, kind of forget that they're there, and they're really, really important, and I can't do hardly anything without my hands. And I'm just really grateful for the skills that people around me have given me that I can do things with and build things with and just use my imagination and do really whatever I want with my hands and my skills that God and my dad and my uncles and all the people around me that value skills and work have taken the time to teach me and valued them enough to patiently wait while I laboriously learn all of this stuff and make all the mistakes that you make, but keep saying, yeah, it's worth it to keep teaching you, and it's worth it to keep correcting you and saying, yeah, you messed up, but we'll keep trying, we'll get there. So I'm just so grateful for people who value who I am becoming and who value me and my life enough to invest again and again and again when even when it doesn't really make all that much sense. Yeah.
Yeah, really resonate with that, and you know, I think even in addition to the things we learn how to do with our hands from other people, I'm really grateful for the way that people around me have let me keep trying to grow up, and you know, especially. You referenced, you know, a time in your life where you had some growing to do, I think. Yeah. I have had those times and still have those times. but particularly in a time where I told anybody who wanted to listen and a few people who didn't that there was no way on God's green earth that I would be at Center long term. You know, on my way out, it was looking back and realizing, you know, the way people do life together and care about each other is really unusual. And that was really the first thing that kind of held me here long enough to stay curious about a lot more things. And I just continue to be profoundly grateful for those experiences, the people that were willing to give space. You know, if there were times where I was looking for a my way or the highway answer because I had my bags packed and I could read an atlas. And I just didn't get it. And I'm profoundly grateful for that. and the people that continue to hold space for all of us to figure out who we are and how we show up together. And in very practical ways, you know, in the last several years, we've been reminded over and over again how much we value and how much we need the people around us, not just to hold us up emotionally, but physically mm-hmm. as well.
Thank you.
So my thoughts aren't very well planned on this, but I feel like this year, I'm not sure I viewed myself as someone who worried, or at least not on a regular basis. And this year I felt more times of worry than I remember feeling before now. And I remember one evening as my mind was just kind of going and sort of the same things, far more often than is healthy, I started thinking about what I am thankful for. And because I was worrying about how is God going to provide for us in the future. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when I took time to thank him for what he is providing in the present, mm-hmm. it made me trust that he's going to provide in the future. And as a massage therapist, I hear probably people's more vulnerable thoughts, or at least I feel like I often hear kind of what's closest to their hearts. And it seems like anxiety is on an all-time rise. And it's just interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily thought about it until you and Nathan brought it up tonight, how that gratefulness is a way to combat worry. And yeah, I would just like to thank God for how he faithfully has provided for more than just our needs. He really has provided for a lot of our wants as well.
Marietta regularly deals with people that are homeless. And I think it probably makes me more thankful for a home. I'm so grateful that our Father built a nice home for us and we can enjoy it. And one of the things that is really, really nice in the wintertime is floor heat. It's just marvelous. And he just was very, he wanted to provide for his daughters.
I can still about hear my mother say how grateful she is. I think it's rubbed off on all of us, I hope. Something that that's happening to me and that I'm, I know you've heard this before, but my eyesight has been failing me. And today, Linda Rose took me to a doctor that I haven't seen before here in town, and he gave me some hope of being able to see better with surgery. Cataracts, I thought it's been in the last year or so that I was told that I have a start, and so I didn't figure that cataracts would be my problem. Because another doctor said that macular degeneration, you can't do anything for that, and that's what I had. I thought, mm-hmm. and it is. But this doctor gave me some hope, so I am I'm just so grateful for a vision, and I think of my cousin Clara May Nicely that is blind. She is blind. And in the morning, she can't see the sun, but sometimes she stands in the doorway to feel the warmth. And so when someone here was talking about hands, we're just made in such a wonderful way to have hands to work and feet to walk and eyes to see, just the way God made us. So I am so grateful.
Thank you.
As Andrew was talking, something entered my mind. So we're talking about either experiences or people that we're grateful for, or also how do we, you know, how do we cultivate gratefulness? And I appreciated what I heard so far. One thing that I've discovered about myself after getting married is that I don't think I'm quite as the romantic type as I thought I was. And so there's times when my wife asks me to do something where I'm like, you know, when I was single, I probably would have thought that would have been a good thing to do if I'm married. And yet now that I'm married, I just like sitting on the couch and vegging out and, you know, being a lazy bum that way. And I kind of humorously can identify with Mark's title for his partner. Anyway, with the summer we've had, it is not surprising that there is maybe a bit of an anxiety in our household in how God will provide in the future. But one thing that, and this is what I'm getting to, one thing that Ange helped us do was, I'm not quite sure where she got the idea. She called it an Ebenezer date. And I think that comes a little bit out of the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Verse 2 says, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thine help I'm come. And basically, there was nothing fantastic or dramatic or expensive about this date we went on, more than just sitting down and recounting to ourselves how God has provided for us since we've moved to Kansas. And it was quite a long list. I thought, well, you know, if we fill up one side of, you know, a 5x8 journal page, that's doing good. We're recounting well. We filled out two sides of an 8.5x11 sheet. And I think we could have kept going with that. And kind of one of the things that was on that list was we had sort of told ourselves we would do Airbnb at least until it you know, we had our remodel costs covered. And, you know, God has been faithful in that. And not only have all those costs been recouped back, but in this time of trying to figure out what the next steps are, it is a way that he is providing for us. And I think we're still just as much in the dark as what the future holds. But looking back at that sheet of paper, and recounting to ourselves how God has been faithful, even in some of the small stuff, it doesn't. What do they say about the stock market? Past performance is not indicative of future performance, but it is an indicator that God has been faithful, mm-hmm. and it gives you courage moving forward. And I'm grateful for that tonight. That I have a God who has provided, mm-hmm. and when I actually talk to myself logically about how he has provided, it takes away the emotion of the uncertainty of the future.
Paul says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I've been reflecting recently that it feels like we're in a season of abounding, a season of plenty. And I've been thinking particularly of my place of employment that has blessed me way beyond my deserving. And some of you have heard me reflecting recently on the opportunity that this has been for me in ways that, for us, in ways that I would never have even known to dream of. As I, over the last number of years, was following in faith and in pursuing a degree to try to develop some skills that the Lord could use overseas. We're still waiting to see when and where that might happen, but developing that with very little idea of when and where that could actually be put to work and further developed, and so to be able to develop that in Hutchinson with an employer who's been very generous and also very favorable toward my other callings, toward my work here at church and things like that, and has provided space for that very graciously, has been a tremendous gift, and I'm very grateful. I was reminded of that. Well, it's been on my mind since I spent my afternoon setting up a computer that he gave me for my work. My previous one was running rather slowly, and that's a little frustrating when my work depends on it all the time. And so it reminded me of how blessed I am. But I don't know how long this season of abounding lasts, but I'm very grateful and humbled in this time. I'm thankful for that. I'm switching gears a little bit. There are many things that I could add to my thankfulness list, but another thing that I think about this year in particular is ways that I've felt like my wife and I have been growing together in our walk with God, in our pursuit of Him, and in our relationship with each other. And I think, I don't know what all the factors are there, but I think walking through another journey of grief together has knit our hearts together in deeper ways. And we say thank you, God, because there are beautiful things that He brings even out of sadness and ashes. And that's a tremendous gift, and we're grateful.
I am grateful for books. Books can take you places that you could never go otherwise, and they can instruct, and they can tell you a story, and you can learn lots of things and be entertained by the stories. And they just make life so much richer. And I'm also grateful for people who have given me book recommendations and who have helped me to find ways to read more, to make a little more time for reading. They've helped me a lot, and I'm grateful for the ways that I guess these days it's really hard for me. I tend to make a lot of excuses these days for not thinking and not studying, and just in general, kind of living a just a surviving sort of life, I guess. And books are helping me to get out of survival mode and give me encouragement that I can actually still use my mind a little bit during these childbearing years. Anyway.
Okay, well, if that's everyone, thank you very much for your responses. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And that's all I have, so I'll turn back the time to... Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that as well. I think it helps shift our focus. We can share that with each other. I'm wondering if I could have two volunteers to just kind of bring our gratitude and prayer to the Lord as a benediction yet, and then I'd like to close us with some verses from Psalm 103. Or I can volunteer you if I need to. Julian? And do we have one more? May I ask you to, Harry? So with Julian and Harry, let's go ahead and rise. I'll have you pray, and then I'll just kind of read a few verses as a benediction yet.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pause in your presence to say thank you for inviting us into your family. And we've been reminded of many things of which we have gratitude. Thank you for the fact that we've heard about Jesus and that we have embraced and valued the salvation. And I pray, as Lowell reminded us, that we would be good stewards of that gift and that the people that we come in contact with could also hear about your salvation. And Lord, we have many physical gifts, temporal gifts that we are grateful that you provide, daily food and much more than we need. And as Bo reminded us, I pray that we would be genuinely grateful for even these things. And we just are also blessed spiritually. Thank you, Lord, for your spiritual blessings to us. And I pray that in this reminder, the Thanksgiving season, that it would not just be an exercise we do this time, but it could be a life of gratitude. And thank you for the many examples this evening of people saying, I looked back and saw how you have provided, and I look forward recognizing that you will continue to provide. And we all do that, Lord, recognizing that it is because of your faithfulness to us that we benefit. And so we say thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have blessed us far above our deserving. You have blessed us by calling us to sit together with you in heavenly places. And we rejoice that we have that opportunity to rest with you, to work in your strength, to have your life flowing through our lives. We thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for work to do and strength to do it with. And we thank you that Merle had the opportunity of having this knee replacement, and I pray that you would continue to give him good recovery and good days and good productivity. Thank you, Lord, for family and for community. And tomorrow, as families are gathering, I pray that we would take the opportunity to remember those that are not blessed with natural family in the same way that most of us are, and make it an exercise of the community of faith as well. Lord, we honor you for all things pleasant and difficult, and ask that you would use these to make us into the people, into the community that you would have us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. But the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. God bless each one of you.
Is that this? I'm not sure. Is 8:15?